This is the Quality News Network. It's been called the most brazen attack in Baghdad since the Iraqi war began. Today, more than 100 educators were kidnapped at a university facility across from the highly secure U.S. Green Zone. The militants wore police uniforms. At this time, most, if not all, hostages have been arrested. The district police chief and four of his top officers have been taken into custody. In violence elsewhere in Iraq today, at least 117 people were killed or found dead. The U.N.'s nuclear watchdog has found traces of highly enriched uranium and plutonium in Iran. The report confirms the country continues to enrich uranium in defiance of the U.N. Security Council. In Lebanon, the country's president says he opposes his government's approval yesterday of a U.N. proposal to bring suspects to trial for murdering Lebanon's former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri. Syria is widely blamed for the killing. In Florida, scandal-ridden Republican lobbyist Jack Abramoff is enjoying his last night of freedom. Abramoff reports to federal prison tomorrow to serve at least 5 years for fraud and conspiracy. In Germany today, civil rights activists requested prosecutors investigate outgoing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and other U.S. officials. They filed suit on behalf of a dozen alleged torture victims. In San Francisco, gay marriage advocates are taking their case to the California Supreme Court. Last month, an appeals court ruled against same-sex marriage. Those filing suit say the ban is unconstitutional. In Baltimore, American Catholic bishops said today homosexual men and women may remain in the church, but the bishops say those parishioners are still guilty of a moral disorder and, if not celibate, should be denied the church's most important sacrament, communion. In Japan, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced he will push for a redraft of Japan's pacifist constitution, drafted by the U.S. and put into effect after World War II. The constitution places strong limits on Japan's right to use military force. The most important report of its kind is being released this month by top international scientists studying global warming. The report says temperatures in oceans are rising at unprecedented rates and predicts a massive die-out of many species of birds, fish, and animals. The study also declares human activity is to blame for global warming. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
U.S. health officials are asking Americans to get their flu shots this year. Demand usually decreases after Thanksgiving. Government officials are concerned a surplus of unused flu vaccines may lead some pharmaceutical companies to drop production. Researchers in Greece say their country has one of the highest obesity rates of adults and children in all of Europe. The country says the problem started in the 1990s and is tied to Greeks' consumption of fast food. For the second month in a row, the Commerce Department reports retail sales fell, partially due to drops in the price of gasoline. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.45 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. For the 15th time in 6 weeks, the Dow Jones closed at a record high. Analysts say the high numbers came after it appeared inflation reports are easing concerns the Fed will raise interest rates when they meet next month. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 86 points at 12,218. The Nasdaq was up 24 points at 2430. The S&P 500 was up 9 points at 1393. Gold traded at $622.50 an ounce, and silver closed out at $12.82 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
AmeriMerchant helps thousands of retailers.
Voodoo child. Lord, I'm a voodoo child.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning. That's right. It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and who expect working Americans to pay for their billionaires' gains. And now, brought to you by the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, it's the Bruce Birch Radio Program with your host, Bruce Birch.
Well, the night I was born, Lord, I swear the moon turned a fire red.
All right. Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, where you might not get smarter, but you'll end up knowing more. Perhaps. Maybe, maybe not. It's 5 minutes past the top of the hour. Glad to be back with you here for this Tuesday evening on the eastern coast of the United States, coming to you live through the Head On Radio Network. If you are new on the stream, you got to come out and check out our chat room. We got a bunch of folks in there hanging out this evening. Talking about, well, whatever they want to talk about. You can go to headonradionetwork.com, click on the little chat room link on the right-hand side of the page there near the top, and that'll get you to a place where you can register and join us in the chat. Yes, that's some Jimi Hendrix leading into the show this evening. A little bit of Voodoo Child there. I just, you know, it's kind of groovy for this time of night. A lot of stuff going on, but before I get into that, I wanted to give you a heads up about tomorrow's topic. Tomorrow's topic on the Bruce Birch Radio Program is going to be addiction and recovery. We're going to talk about addiction and recovery. Well, a couple of reasons why I wanted to do that. The first one is because of personal impact in my life, and also because, you know, whenever you hear about these topic, this particular topic being discussed, it's usually in a very clinical atmosphere and very dry kind of stuff. And, you know, I want to, you know, I'd like to hear from you guys about, you know, how, if it's impacted your lives, and if it has, how so, and, you know, and get into the meat of that. You know, we're going to take a little bit of a departure, if you will, from the political chicanery, and slide into a societal, into a topic that is more of a social issue than a political one, although it has political ramifications as well. Witness George Bush. Anyway, you know, so we're going to do that tomorrow night, so do tune in 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 Pacific, to for that topic tomorrow evening. Now, not only that, but this evening, you know, it's going to be an open topic night. We're just going to sort of go through some stories. Of course, I'll give you commentary on various different things that pop up into my field of vision. And, of course, we will take your phone calls. If you want to get in on the program this evening, I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear from you. The telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. And that would be from now until midnight. If you want to get in on the show, that'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network in wild, wonderful West Virginia. And then on with me, Bruce. Now, a couple of different things that are, you know, it's just the insanity, the unraveling, the complete debauchery of this present administration. You know, we watched the elections happen. The American people spoke. They said, we're tired of the course that our nation is taking. We're tired of being ostracized worldwide. People are looking at us like we're lunatics, and perhaps we are, but that's beside the point. More news has come out, and I'm sure that you probably have heard this earlier today, but, you know, the CIA now is pretty much laying all of the facts bare. And they're saying, basically, that the George Bush administration, the romper room of the White House, issued orders authorizing the agency to detain and interrogate terror suspects overseas. Well, what makes this interesting is that that entire order was declared illegal by the Supreme Court. As a result, there was new legislation that was authored to, you know, to make it legal and to, and you know, and in the middle of all of that, of course, retroactively declare everyone free from prosecution, granted them immunity, and also removed the habeas corpus rights of these detainees and you, should you ever get detained by the U.S. government, and they call you an enemy combatant. But, you know, it's beginning to, you know, the CIA finally is getting some moxie and saying and telling the truth. Now, the gentleman that they're trying to get slated to run the Pentagon there, the Defense Department, is basically the go-to guy that they're going to use to try to rein in this what they term to be a bit of a departure, should we say, mutiny by the defense intelligence networks. The bottom line here, folks, is that the career officers within the CIA are recognizing that these folks are going down in flames, and it's like rats leaving a sinking ship. It really is. It's quite amazing, you know, to watch this happen. I mean, it's you know, these guys were on top of the world a year ago, or 2 years ago. Even a year ago, they were on top of the world. You know, then the scandals began to break. Duke Cunningham, Jack Abramoff, you know, the Tom DeLay saga. All of this stuff began to break, and people began to hear about it on the news every single day. And they saw people like Jack Abramoff dressed up like a mobster from the 20s with his long leather coat and his, you know, fedora, you know, donning his head. And they started to think, maybe we've been had. And then all of the intelligence started to come out that the whole WMD thing was, well, a lie, to put it mildly. And so now, you know, and as a result, they said, you know, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're going to elect the other party because, you know what, it can't get any worse with this party. I mean, you know, it just can't. So they elected the other party. And so now, the Bush administration is unraveling at the seams. It's like a cheap suit coming apart, a cheap steak getting burned, because of the politicization of intelligence. It's one thing to create policy around intelligence. I mean, you have to do that to a certain degree, but it's another thing entirely to grab intelligence, skew it to be what you want it to be, and then turn around and announce that as, well, this is the truth. They were going to Niger. They're going down there to Niger, and they's going to get them some of that dang old yellow cake and turn it into a one of them nuclear weapons there. That's what George Bush stood up in the State of the Union address in 2003 and told us. My producer says, I'm treating the rats kind of crappy by comparing them to Republicans. Well, yeah, you know, yeah. But the point being, folks, is that, you know, when we're looking at this whole situation, again, as I said yesterday, these guys lie, and they lie, and they lie, and they lie. So, you know, trusting anything that they say at this point would be completely ridiculous, completely ridiculous. So the CIA is coming out, and they're saying such items as, you know, they're laying the facts out there for the American people, because what happened and what, you know, what's going on? Well, Donald Rumsfeld is getting a lawsuit. Action was filed in Germany to try to find Donald Rumsfeld and a number of other agency officials, former agency officials, guilty of war crimes. The CIA career officers are now looking at this situation and going, oh, damn it. We're going to get caught up in the middle of this. We might end up in prison. It's CYA time in the United States government. And if you don't know what CYA means, it means cover your ass. And that's what's going on. It's absolutely repugnant. But, you know, we've got to... Anyway, we got to take a look at all this, and we will here as we go through the show tonight. Now, again, as I said, if you want to get in on the show tonight, you can avail yourself of that opportunity by dialing into 1-877-443-2366. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burch radio program. It's about 19 minutes past the top of the hour. Talking about a number of different things. You can get in on the show today. We'd love to hear from you. It's 877-443-2366 is the number. You know, I'm reading an article right now. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a little bit of a story. Again, I'll refer back to what I mentioned yesterday on the air about the CNN documentary that I saw in the overnight hours of Sunday. And one of the things that I saw there was the reality of the war, the occupation. The reality of the occupation is that many people are dying. Hundreds are dying. I want to read you something. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of the security developments in Iraq for today. Okay? These are the security developments in Iraq. In Tikrit, a car bomb in downtown Tikrit, Saddam Hussein's hometown, wounded 10 people, including 3 policemen. In Baghdad, a car bomb ripped through a crowded market area in Rashid Street in central Baghdad, killing 10 people and wounding 25. Also in Baghdad, gunmen killed a security guard for former Prime Minister Iyad Alawi on his way home in the western Galizia district of Baghdad. In Kirkuk, gunmen killed a man in the northern city of Kirkuk. In Mosul, police found 11 bodies with gunshot wounds. In Baghdad again, gunmen wearing Iraqi police commando uniforms kidnapped as many as 100 men from a higher education ministry building in central Baghdad. They arrived in new pickup vehicles and stormed the research directorate building in religiously mixed Karada. In Bakuba, gunmen attacked a police patrol, killing 3 policemen and wounding another. In Baghdad again, a car bomb wounded 3 people in the northwestern district of Baghdad. Another incident in Baghdad, Iraqi army killed 3 insurgents and arrested 72 suspected insurgents during the last 24 hours. And the list goes on. And I could read you the whole thing, but it would take me the next 10 minutes of what just happened today, folks, today. The killing has to stop. You know, I was listening to our good friend Bob Kincaid. And Bob was talking about being a can-do nation. What happened to that spirit that we had? What happened to the spirit of doing the right thing for the right reason? It went away when we elected the current administration. They don't do the right thing for the right reason. Well, they do the right thing. What they think is the right things for the right reasons, for their right reasons. Their right reasons are to make money and damn human life. So what we have in this current administration, and you know, and this is a perfect example of what's going on in Iraq. Complete chaos. And they want chaos there. As long as those oil lines are being guarded heavily, they could care less about the rest of those people. They could care less whether those young women and men, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, live or die. The innocents. You know? You and I do care, though, don't we? And it hurts our heart when we watch as these people get mowed down by whatever it is, whether it's insurgents, a car bomb, U.S. bullets, whatever it is. There's been enough of this, folks. There's been enough. We've had enough. The blood has run in the streets for long enough, and it's time that we do something about it, isn't it? Well, we did one step in the right direction. We elected people that we hope will represent our best interests. And one of those best interests is to get the hell out of that nation. should never have gone there to begin with, and now that we're there, it's doing nothing but creating more problems. Our occupation of this nation has created more problems than it ever could have solved. And I'm pretty sure that you would agree with me. And if you don't, I'd love to hear from you. But I'm pretty sure that you would agree with me. We have a crisis. Prior to this election, we had a constitutional crisis in this nation. What I find to be very interesting and ironic, though, is that the regime change in Iraq set off a chain of events that created, or may create even, a regime change in the United States. Because of our actions and because of our, I say our, and I shouldn't say that, because of the arrogance of the Bush administration and because of their propensity to shoot first, ask questions later, security in Iraq has gone downhill. It has been steadily sinking into a civil war. It's a pretty much all-out civil war now. Folks can't walk down the street there. They don't even have electricity. You know, it's sick. It's just flat-out sick. And you and I know what the answer is. The answer is to get the hell out. All right. I'm going to get away from that topic because, you know, the reality is that it'll be there every day until we get the hell out of there. It'll be there every day. There's always something new to talk about Iraq because somebody's always getting killed and somebody's always getting their arms and legs blown off. And meanwhile, George Bush, dry drunk that he is, one could doubt the dry part, continues to hold fast to non-existent virtue. It is a sad day. Now, sliding directly east of that nation, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said Tuesday that he would soon send a message to the American nation. Quote, I have already prepared a message to the American nation and will soon send it out. He did not say when and through which channel he would send the message, but claimed that the American people had asked him to explain the Iranian standpoints to them. Ahmadinejad said, quote, we clearly distinguish between the American people and the American government. Thank you. And believe that the U.S. administration has also severely damaged the image of Americans worldwide. Well, you know, truer words were never spoken. The American people right now hold George Bush at a 31% approval rating. If it got any worse, no, it could get a lot worse. And maybe, you know, if he sinks below the 30, the 25% mark, he's going for impeachment. That's just all there is to it. We're going to have to recall him as well. Speaking of impeachment, Cindy Sheehan and a number of folks recently held an impeachment rally. Coalition of national organizations and political leaders announced plans this past weekend to launch a national movement for the impeachment of President Bush and Vice President Cheney. The organizers of Impeach for Change held a press conference Saturday, along with an impeachment rally to pressure the new Democratic majority for investigations into impeachment. The events took place at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia, just across from Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution were signed. Anti-war activist and co-founder of Gold Star Families for Peace, Cindy Sheehan, was one of several keynote speakers at the conference. In an interview, she said, we know that in a recent Zogby poll that was commissioned by the After Downing Street Coalition, that over 51% of Americans would be in favor of impeaching George W. Bush if it was proven that he lied about the war and about the reasons for the invasion. 51% in a Zogby poll. 51% would be in favor of impeaching the bastard if it was proven that he lied about the war. Well, let's see. Did he lie about the war? Thinking he did. But of course we have to lay the facts out, right? Yeah. Well, we know what the facts are. The facts are that they planned to invade Iraq immediately. They planned that in 1997, the Project for a New American Century, newamericancentury.org. Planned in 1997, tried to urge Bill Clinton to invade, and Bill Clinton said, nah, I don't think so. And who comes along behind him but George W., and George W. says, hell yeah, I'll do it. He invaded the country, and what has he got now? Need to hand him a mop for all the blood that he spilled. 30 minutes past the hour. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I'll be right back after this break.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. On Monday, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, like a vassal from olden days, came to Washington to kiss the emperor's ring. At a press conference with Bush, Olmert bent way over to lay one on the president. Here's what Olmert said. We in the Middle East have followed the American policy in Iraq for a long time and were very much impressed and encouraged by the stability which the great operation of American Iraq brought to the Middle East, he said. Stability? What's he talking about? Bush's policy in Iraq has brought chaos and destruction and hundreds of thousands of deaths. But when you go see your paymaster, you better not mention any of that. Bush returned the favor, saying Olmert, who waged a reckless war of his own against Lebanon, cares deeply about securing the peace. Behind this mutual admiration society lies a perceived convergence of interest, as well as some bizarre political bedfellows. As the New York Times reports, right-wing evangelicals have been lobbying the Bush administration to back Israel's every move. Supporting Israel, they say, is God's foreign policy. Huh, I didn't even know he had one. These evangelicals support Israel because they believe it is heralding the end times, when Jews will have to make a delicate choice, either convert or die. That Israel welcomes such supporters is the very definition of short-sightedness. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
All right, a little bit more Jimi Hendrix there for you. In from the storm. Got an interesting little story here for you. Apparently, Jack Abramoff, now he's going to prison tomorrow, okay? He's scheduled to report to federal prison tomorrow, convicted lobbyist, federal prosecutors are objecting to this. They're saying that they still need his help to pursue leads on officials he allegedly bribed. And some of these officials he's claiming are 6 to 8 seriously corrupt Democratic senators. The wrinkle has just occurred, folks. Sources say Abramoff was about to provide information about Bush administration officials, including Karl Rove, accepting things of value from Abramoff. Rove has denied any wrongdoing, but the lobbyist visited the White House at least 7 times. Abramoff has been meeting almost daily in secret locations around Washington with Justice Department investigators who are examining thousands of emails and documents. But the prosecutor's access to Abramoff has now ended. After granting several delays, the federal judge in Florida who sentenced Abramoff to 6 years for fraud has ordered him to report to prison tomorrow. Apparently, the Federal Correction Institute in Cumberland, Maryland, is where he's going. And that was because prosecutors there in D.C. have requested it. It'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. There may be some more indictments coming. I certainly hope that Rove is one of them. But, it may be some of the Democrats as well. And if they took money, they need to go also. If they took money, they need to go, because we can't have that. Senator Harry Reid was officially elected the Senate Majority Leader today. And he's quoted as saying, "From Iraq to the economy, Americans want change, and the Senate majority is going to fight for change," after his colleagues elected him leader by acclamation for the 110th Congress convening in January. However, over on the House side, Steny Hoyer and John Murtha are still battling away as to who's going to be that party's the Democratic leader in the House. 33 House Democratic moderates issued an open letter backing Hoyer, and a number of other Democrats have issued their own letter backing Murtha. So it's going to go on and on for a while. Now, also, since we're talking about political news, Patty Murray of Washington, Senator Patty Murray, is now going to be the Secretary of the Democratic Caucus, and that's the third ranking post in the Senate hierarchy behind Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and the Assistant Majority Leader Dick Durbin. So we do have women moving up in the echelon there in D.C. That's a good thing. That's absolutely a good thing. All right, let's look around here. I'm pulling some of these stories right off the wire, and I'm sure you probably have already heard about this one. George's daddy is blaming the bloggers for the incivility in politics. Okay, George. We've looked at a number of different stories since we've been on the air and yesterday over the last few months, and I've done a lot of interviews, and one of these stories, and actually I probably will try to do this again tomorrow night, but I'll cover it a little bit right now because it's kind of an interesting story. This happened this occurred today, or part of it occurred today anyway. Apparently there is a recovering alcoholic who tried to make amends, whose letters were then turned over to prosecutors, and he's been charged with a crime as a result for trying to make amends. He pled guilty to one count of aggravated sexual battery for his actions during a Phi Kappa Psi fraternity party at the University of Virginia in 1984. Interesting story. He wrote a letter to a woman making an amends to her for raping her, essentially. And he turned the letters over to the authorities. They have charged him now, and he has now pled guilty. The prosecutors have asked that he gets 2 years in prison when he's sentenced in March. Interesting story. You know, the ninth step in AA's program calls on alcoholics to make amends to those they have harmed. Last year, the gentleman's name is William Beebe. Last year, Beebe wrote this woman a letter of apology, and an exchange of emails ensued in which he wrote, quote, "I want to make clear that I'm not intentionally minimizing the fact of having raped you. I did." Apparently, he must have thought that having a spiritual program in his life would exempt him from living life on life's terms. And one of those life on life's terms things is, it's going to jail if you committed a crime. So there you go. I just had to offer that. We'll talk about that tomorrow night, though. There's, you know, a lot of issues surrounding 12-step recovery, and that's one of them. Whether or not a meeting constitutes, if you're inside of a meeting, it constitutes the ability to be confidential. Excuse me. The other thing too that I'm going to slide back over to the Iraq situation very quickly, because I did want to mention this. You know, the Iraqi study group, the Iraq study group, is now sort of coming out of the public eye, and they are trying to make recommendations to changes in Iraq policy. Lawmakers in both parties are eagerly awaiting the recommendations from this advisory group, but Bush himself has pretty much said that he's going to continue doing what he's going to do regardless of whatever is recommended. So it's actually pretty much an exercise in futility, if you will. And it's going to, it looks like that the bottom line is this is going to end up going to come down to a huge battle between the Senate and the President over when it's time to bring them home. Now, the Congress can absolutely limit money appropriations for the conflict, which in turn would force George Bush's hand to bring the troops home. Now, if that happens, it'll be interesting to see if that does happen or not. Of course, we may see Joe Lieberman jump ship over that. He's liable to jump ship over anything. I think we need to send him a tiara. So time will tell. Time will tell. The other thing, too, that I was looking at this afternoon, or listening to, is this whole issue over supermax prisons. And this is actually off the CNN website. You can check this out. Two California court cases are raising questions about whether prisoners in the nation's toughest prison, supermax, are continuing to commit crimes by smuggling coded messages out of the high-security institution. Officially known as the Administrative Maximum in Florence, Colorado, supermax is home to convicted terrorists such as Olympic bomber Eric Rudolph, Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, and Ramzi Youssef. Even though he's serving a life term, Mexican mafia leader Ruben Night Owl Castro was indicted recently on conspiracy charges that accuse him of continuing to run 18th Street gang drug sales in the streets of Los Angeles from his supermax cells. Also, two leaders of the Aryan Brotherhood are to be sentenced next week in a federal court in Santa Ana, California. They were convicted on conspiracy charges, including instigating a murderous race war at another prison through a message smuggled out of the supermax. Super lax prison. So do these things really work? these supermax prisons. I mean, this is exactly the kind of thing that they were created to keep from happening. And what's going on? But the very same thing. We have a problem in this nation, I believe. We have a problem in this nation right now, I believe, with... what's the word I'm looking for? Someone can probably throw it down the electrical line to me. What we say and what we do are very opposite things most of the time. And that's exactly what is the deal with that particular situation. Let's go ahead. Yeah, dichotomy. That's it. Thank you. Let's go ahead and take a break, our good friend Mr. Bob, and then we'll come back and hit the telephone lines. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. It's about 45 minutes past the hour. If you want to get in on the show, it's 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
Beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah! A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Here's the boss fella now. How are you, Bruce?
Good night, Bruce.
Hello,
Bruce. Hiya, Bruce.
Good night, Bruce.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burks radio program. It's about 50 minutes until or after the hour, 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Let's go straight to the phone lines. Jim is joining us from his undisclosed location. Jim, how are you doing this evening?
Okay, Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Listen,
what's on your mind?
I'm just trying to inject a note of humor here. I was just watching a Roseanne special called Blonde Ambition.
Okay.
And she said,
Roseanne Barr, right?
Pardon me?
Roseanne Barr, correct?
Oh, yeah, Roseanne Barr, yeah. Right, exactly. The queen of trailer trash, as she calls herself. She made two statements which I thought were pretty interesting. First, all politicians, or most politicians, are always telling the truth when they're calling each other liars. And she said, how in the hell could the Republicans get poor people to vote for George Bush to be like getting the chickens to vote for Colonel Sanders?
Well, you and I both know, Jim, that people, you know, they vote against their best interests because they're driven by ideology rather than by common sense.
I think it's called idiocracy.
Yes, idiotology, right?
Or just idiocracy, or whatever you call it. You just think idiot. But, you know, this woman, even though she's brash and vulgar and everything like that, I love her. I think she's wonderful. And she has a lot of things to say, which is quite true. And truly,
well,
I mean, coming from her, what she said is, you know, she is the mastermind of understatement. I mean, think of it. Politicians do tell the truth only when they're calling each other liars. And the other, I've already said, so there. A modest contribution to your program, but I thought it was appropriate.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, that's very true. I mean, they're telling the truth when they're calling each other liars, and they're also telling the truth they're lying when their lips are moving. Is that how it works?
I think you got the idea, Bruce.
Okay, well.
I think you got it, really. You're a quick study, my friend.
Thank you. I try hard. I try.
Well,
oh, my goodness.
I thought, good Lord, this woman, I mean, I watched her for 10 or 11 years on her sitcom, and I virtually know every line from every one. And I just always thought, you know, she's overcome an awful lot in her life to be where she is now, and I've got to give her credit for that. And she basically just tells it like it is, And I thought those two statements, I said, you know, wow, de profundis.
Well,
she's just like a huge hypodermic syringe, and she just pops it right in the vein, and it's in your brain in just a second. And I thought, you know, there's something what this woman says. She should go into public service.
Oh my goodness! Now, you want to talk about the Republicans focusing on someone? Woo! Actually, you know what though, man? The reality is that folks who tell the truth like that don't do well in public service.
Well,
because not that she wouldn't probably do a great job, but that you know the problem with politics. Here, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a moment. The problem with politics, in my view, is that people have to compromise their principles too much, Jim. You can believe in something very strongly, but you know what? If there are so many demands on, you have to give this to get that, and all, you know, and you end up selling your soul to try to, you know, win the next election. And to me, it's just it's an aberrant idea. I mean, I really, you know. Now, there was one time that I actually considered running for public office and you know, here locally, and I looked at the situation, I looked at some of what these people had to do, and I thought to myself, you know, I don't think that's the route I want to go. I like actually getting on the air and you know, because I can get on here and I can espouse what I believe and, you know, to be true and to be factual and to be a principled approach to all of this, and I don't have to compromise that. You know, and I think that folks like her and other people such as Michael J. Fox, I mean, there's a whole string of folks who have come out and said, you know, or for instance, even I'm trying to think of the rapper, the guy who said that George Bush doesn't like black people. Do you think a politician could have gotten away with saying that?
No.
You know, I don't think so. So we need those people out there to speak truth, and you and me and everyone else, you know, who calls in and makes their ideas known, you know, to stand up and, you know, say what needs to be said, because the politicians aren't going to say it. They're going to say what they think to be politically expedient rather than holding to principles.
Well, you know, I have a framed portrait of St. Thomas More, whom I think a great deal of and actually pray to for guidance and help, because I believe he has a definite place in the hierarchy of things. And right by his picture is what's called the Lawyer's Prayer, and it ends by saying, "Dear Lord, let me not, in order to win my point, lose my soul."
One of our chatters in the chat room, Jim, a guy named Spike, who's from Easton, Pennsylvania, he calls in occasionally, he says, quote, this is a quote from Hunter S. Thompson, it says, quote, "The main problem in any democracy are that crowd pleasers are generally brainless swine who can go out on a stage and work their supporters up into an orgiastic frenzy. Then they go back to the office and sell every one of the bastards down the tube for a nickel apiece."
Well, there you have it. There it is. Really. I also thought, you know, as far as what St. Thomas More said in his Lawyer's Prayer, "Let me not, in order to win my point, lose my soul." And that's basically what I think most politicians have done. Yeah?
Well, you know, I really, you know, I was not alive during a lot of the presidencies of, for instance, John F. Kennedy, Eisenhower, the second Roosevelt, you know, but based on everything that I've, and actually, you know what, let me shift the conversation just a hair before, because we have to go to a break here in just a minute, Jim. But one of those people that stood up who could have been probably elected to any office was Martin Luther King. But he stood up for principle and said what needed to be said and knew that was, you know, I mean, he impacted so much more social change by doing that than by running for office or trying to do it within the system. He did it outside, if you will, of the system. You know, and that, you know, that there's a lot to be said for that.
Agreed.
So, I do have about a minute left, Jim, before I have to go to the top of the hour. You know, I'm glad you called in.
Okay.
Look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Well, and tomorrow we're going to be talking about addiction. So get out your addictionology books.
Oh God.
We'll try to figure it out. I do appreciate your call, though, my friend.
Good night.
Okay, thanks. Have a nice evening. That's our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere on the northern hemisphere. It's about somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 minute before the top of the hour. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. Archives are available of this radio program at whiterosesociety.org. And I'll be back after the news.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. It's been called the most brazen attack in Baghdad since the Iraqi war began. Today, more than 100 educators were kidnapped at a university facility across from the highly secure U.S. Green Zone. The militants wore police uniforms. At this time, most, if not all, hostages have been arrested. The district police chief and four of his top officers have been taken into custody. In violence elsewhere in Iraq today, at least 117 people were killed or found dead. The U.N.'s nuclear watchdog has found traces of highly enriched uranium and plutonium in Iran. The report confirms the country continues to enrich uranium in defiance of the U.N. Security Council. In Lebanon, the country's president says he opposes his government's approval yesterday of a U.N. proposal to bring suspects to trial for murdering Lebanon's former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri. Syria is widely blamed for the killing. In Florida, scandal-ridden Republican lobbyist Jack Abramoff is enjoying his last night of freedom. Abramoff reports to federal prison tomorrow to serve at least 5 years for fraud and conspiracy. In Germany today, civil rights activists requested prosecutors investigate outgoing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and other U.S. officials. They filed suit on behalf of a dozen alleged torture victims. In San Francisco, gay marriage advocates are taking their case to the California Supreme Court. Last month, an appeals court ruled against same-sex marriage. Those filing suit say the ban is unconstitutional. In Baltimore, American Catholic bishops said today homosexual men and women may remain in the church, but the bishops say those parishioners are still guilty of a moral disorder and, if not celibate, should be denied the church's most important sacrament, communion. In Japan, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced he will push for a redraft of Japan's pacifist constitution, drafted by the U.S. and put into effect after World War II. The constitution places strong limits on Japan's right to use military force. The most important report of its kind is being released this month by top international scientists studying global warming. The report says temperatures in oceans are rising at unprecedented rates and predicts a massive die-out of many species of birds, fish, and animals. The study also declares human activity is to blame for global warming. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
U.S. health officials are asking Americans to get their flu shots this year. Demand usually decreases after Thanksgiving. Government officials are concerned a surplus of unused flu vaccines may lead some pharmaceutical companies to drop production. Researchers in Greece say their country has one of the highest obesity rates of adults and children in all of Europe. The country says the problem started in the 1990s and is tied to Greeks' consumption of fast food. For the second month in a row, the Commerce Department reports retail sales fell, partially due to drops in the price of gasoline. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.45 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. For the 15th time in 6 weeks, the Dow Jones closed at a record high. Analysts say the high numbers came after it appeared inflation reports are easing concerns the Fed will raise interest rates when they meet next month. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 86 points at 12,218. The Nasdaq was up 24 points at 2430. The S&P 500 was up 9 points at 1393. Gold traded at $622.50 an ounce, and silver closed out at $12.82 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
it's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce Birch.
Welcome back to the radio program. It's about 5 minutes past the top of the hour. Glad to have you back along with us. I've been talking about a whole bunch of stuff. All kinds of topics are wide open tonight. I'm just looking around. Just to see what else there is in the hopper. And one of the stories that seems to have escaped the American media. This is off of the BBC. The Pentagon has ordered an inquiry into alleged abuses at Guantanamo Bay after reports that camp guards boasted of beating and mistreating detainees. A Marine sergeant who visited the camp has said she understood striking detainees was a common practice. The sergeant's sworn statement said she overheard a guard describe slamming a detainee's head into a cell door. And of course, the U.S. has meanwhile rejected a call by British Foreign Secretary Margaret Beckett to close Guantanamo Bay. Ms. Beckett is the highest-ranking British official to attack the U.S. over the camp, where hundreds of war on terror suspects are being held without charge. She said the U.S. detention camp did as much to radicalize extremists as it did to promote security. Somebody's making sense? What the hell? She said, quote, "The continuing detention without fair trial of prisoners is unacceptable in terms of human rights, but it is also ineffective in terms of counterterrorism," end quote. But a U.S. spokesman said the camp was needed to house some very dangerous people, including those who were behind the 9/11 attacks. The Pentagon's Inspector General said the U.S. military's Southern Command, which oversees the Guantanamo Bay camp, has been ordered to investigate complaints of alleged mistreatment. Military lawyers who represent detainees at the camp have filed an affidavit that describes guards boasting of abusing prisoners. Marine Sergeant Heather... Oh, gosh. Why do they always have these names? Marine Sergeant Heather Cervini, who went to the base 3 weeks ago as a legal aide to a military lawyer, said five Navy guards described in detail how they beat up detainees. He said in the affidavit, quote, "The one sailor specifically said, I took the detainee by the head and smashed his head into a cell door." Her affidavit went on, from the whole conversation, I understood that striking detainees was a common practice. Everyone in the group laughed at the other stories of beating detainees. Maybe it's just everything, all the news today is depressing as hell. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm coming down from the recent incredible election. Maybe that's it. It really is, you know, and you heard in the top of the hour news that apparently there was some plutonium traces that were found in a nuclear waste facility in Iran. Oh, God, they've got plutonium. Oh, my God, we're going to die. I mean, come on. Ahmadinejad, yeah, I'm talking about Iran, that's right. Ahmadinejad has said that they are using nuclear power technology. Meanwhile, we're whipping everyone into a warlike frenzy to kill them all because they have dreaded nuclear technology. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do? Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're not going to take a break just yet. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to play you a clip. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play you a clip of Michael Savage. If you weren't mad already, you're going to be mad when you hear this.
And I want to tell you something, and I'm going to say it to you loud and clear. The radical homosexual agenda will not stop until religion is outlawed in this country. Make no mistake about it. They're all not nice decorators.
Ah!
You better get it through your head before it's too late.
Ah!
They threaten your very survival.
Oh,
they went
God!
After the Catholic Church.
They went after the church?
The Catholic Church is now caving into the homosexual mafia.
The homosexual mafia?
They will not stop until they force their agenda down your throats.
Ah!
Gay marriage is just the tip of the iceberg. They want full and total subjugation of this society to their agenda.
Ah!
Now, if you want that, and if you don't think it's a threat, believe me, that is what's going to occur in this country.
Oh, my dear God. It's the radical homosexual agenda. It will not stop until religion is outlawed in this country. Oh, my God! Make no mistake about it, they're all not nice decorators. Oh, my God, where do these people come from? I can't believe it. Oh, my God. They're They'll not stop until we're all wearing perfectly coordinated clothing. That's right. And we'll all have those, what are those interesting, ascots. We'll all have to wear ascots and smoking jackets. Oh, jeez. Okay, you know what? I want to hear it one more time just because it's hard for me to believe this guy actually said this crap. Here we go. One more time. This is Michael Savage, the Michael the Savage Wiener.
And I want to tell you something, and I'm going to say it to you loud and clear. The radical homosexual agenda will not stop until religion is outlawed in this country. Make no mistake about it. They're all not nice decorators. You better get it through your head before it's too late. They threaten your very survival. They went after the Catholic Church.
Oh, my God.
The Catholic Church is now caving into the homosexual mafia.
Oh, my God.
They will not stop until they force their agenda down your throat.
Oh, my God.
Gay marriage is just the tip of the iceberg. They want full and total subjugation of this society to their agenda. Now, if you want that, and if you don't think it's a threat, believe me, that is what's going to occur in this country.
Yep, that's right. They're going to take over. They're going to make all of your children turn into little homosexuals. He called them the homosexual mafia. Did you hear that? The homosexual mafia. Dude, they wear fedoras? They're driving Lincolns? They're meeting in Italian restaurants and planning criminal... They're taking over trucking industries? They threaten your very survival. Oh. I had to play that for you guys because I heard it and I just said to myself, oh my God, these guys make themselves out to be completely, oh God, they're completely crazy. They are sausage brains. That's right, they're sausage brains. And they want us to believe, yes, latent. Oh my God. My producer. You gotta stop that, Bob. I gotta do a show here. Dr. Freud, pink courtesy phone. Dr. Freud, pink courtesy phone. Yes, they're shoving it down your throats. Okay, now let's move right along. Just bad. But I had to play that for you because you need to know what kind of insanity they're doing. Another thing is that this guy, there's this guy named Howard Kurtz. I don't know if anyone knows about this. On reliable sources, Howard Kurtz is raising the issue of media bias by repeating conservative claims. Now, here we're going to go. You watch, folks. Now that the Democrats have been elected to the leadership of the House and the Senate, automatically the media will turn into a liberal media. Okay? Automatically. I mean, it's like they flipped the switch, and now it's a liberal media again. I can hear Rush Limbaugh. It's the liberal media. I'm trying to... Ladies and gentlemen, I need to tell you something about those Democrats. We're talking about Democrats here. It's the liberal media. It's all the fault. I'm sorry. It's all the fault of the liberal media. Kurtz said all kinds of things. He said all kinds of things. He asserted, let's start out at the top here. Kurtz noted that after years of media speculation, the president's top political advisor is not indicted in the Valerie Plame leak investigation. But was he all but convicted in the press? Matter does it. Okay, October 29th, he started his program by wondering out loud, are the media mounting an election eve drumbeat for the Democrats? Have news organizations given up on the conflict in Iraq? Kurtz could have followed up this question with another, or are the suggestions in the media of the likelihood of Democratic advances in the midterm elections like simply an accurate reflection of the public's disillusionment with the Republican-controlled Congress, the Bush administration, and the situation in Iraq? Of course, he didn't ask it that way. He tried to posit an idea using a question. It's about 16 minutes past the top of the hour. There is time for you to participate in the Bruce Burtz radio program if you'd like to avail yourself of that opportunity. Free speech isn't free unless you use it. 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
Michael Bernstein. Let us see an LZ in the place. In the area. Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We getting wild. I don't understand the whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify. Rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs, we heard them all before. You're telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it's idiotic, the tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on your kids while you're murdering.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number one? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know what
you want? Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing@irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
You're back on the Bruce Burst radio program. It's 20 minutes past the top of the hour. Yes, the Italian mafia will make you an offer you can't refuse. The homosexual mafia makes you an offer that's simply fabulous, darling. All right, now I'm going to move right along to a clip that I want to play to you. This is from The Daily Show. This is talking about the bipartisanship. This is John Stewart talking about the bipartisanship that's been going on in Congress between the president and the leaders of the Senate.
Democratic victory means big changes are afoot. For one, the naked statue John Ashcroft had covered, not only will she be uncovered, let's just say she's being liberalized. And Justice, I'm not sure what those are. She's been given cupcakes. All right. Last week, President Bush and Vice President Cheney sat down with the new Democratic leaders in a meeting that fell somewhere on the awkwardness scale between meeting the parents of the girl you knocked up and telling your new neighbors you're a sex offender. Incoming Majority Whip Dick Durbin struck a more optimistic note.
I do want to say thanks personally to the President and Vice President for their conciliatory gesture by wearing blue ties today. From our side, we think that is a symbolic indication, and we're off to a good start.
You notice, Senator.
Any common ground?
You know, Senator Reid and I are both from the West. I'm from West Texas. He's from Nevada. And we tend to speak the same language, pretty plain spoken people, which I should bode well for our relationship.
So you share a time zone and converse in English. Oh, no, no, no. Look a hair. He's got two eyes, I got two eyes. Both members of species, Homo sapiens. Of course, I don't like to call it that. Right. As for the new leader of the House.
First, I want to congratulate Congresswoman Pelosi for becoming the Speaker of the House and the first woman Speaker of the House. This is historic for our country. And as the father of young women, it is, I think it's an important. I really do.
I love that. As the father of young women. I can't recall their names right now. Actually, he's excited because right now I believe his daughter's role models are less political leaders and more the Jaeger girls down at Mexicali Johnson. So this will be a push in the right direction. Now, Pelosi is just as excited to be working with Bush.
I never called the president a liar. But you have called him dangerous and incompetent, right?
That's right. You've called him an incompetent leader, person with no judgment. You've talked about his shallowness. And my question
is, I don't think I ever said shallow.
Kind of an interesting place to draw the line. Whoa, 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 shallow, no. No, 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 I said dunderhead, and I believe dip. Seriously, it's time to reach across the aisle in the spirit of bipartisanship and shake hands with the dip. Who I believe she thinks is also shallow. All right.
So, oh my goodness. So there you go. There's, you know, that's what's been going on there between the two insaneoizoids going on there in D.C. You know, I really, you know, it's interesting to see how this is all, because the language, the rhetoric always heats up, and then they have to start working together and or trying to, and it's going to be interesting to see how all that shakes out because, well, quite honestly, there is still a lot that divides these two political parties. In the moderate zone, of course, there isn't much, but you have the neocons on the far right, and then you have some of the liberals and progressives on the far left, and there are very radically different ideas on what they believe governs the country. Now, of course, I'm personally on the far left, and I believe very strongly that in order to govern the country, in order to, that government can be a good thing, is supposed to be a good thing, it's supposed to be there to help the people. However, what we have seen over the last 6 years is a party, the Republican Party, the neocon fascist regime that has been in control, that basically has said we hate government, and but we're going to run it, which is kind of a crazy idea, because if you hate government, why would you want to run it? Well, simply, we didn't finish the sentence. We want to run it into the ground. And and they've been doing their very level best to try to do just that. Interesting story, a religious story. I'm sure that our good friend Bob Kincaid will cover this tomorrow night on his radio program. He has a show that wherein he does the prayer edition meeting every Wednesday night, because down here in the good old South, that's when all the Baptists go to church on Wednesday night. And since tomorrow's Wednesday night, he does prayer meeting edition on his radio program. Pagans in the U.S. have filed a lawsuit against the government for the right to have their five-pointed symbol placed on gravestones in military cemeteries. I can hardly wait for Michael Savage to address this one. Widows of two Wiccan soldiers and two Wiccan congregations say the government is obstructing their constitutional right to freedom of religion. About 1,800 people on active duty in the U.S. Armed Services are Wiccan. The Department of Veteran Affairs is reviewing the way it approves new emblems, but has not spoken on the case. Wicca, which originates in Europe, is inspired by ancient pre-Christian practices. Wiccans worship the earth. It is recognized by the U.S. military as an official religion, but military veterans are not allowed to display the symbol on their graves. Some 36 other religious symbols, including the Jewish Star of David and the Buddhist wheel, are allowed. The lawsuit has been filed by four plaintiffs: Roberta Stewart, whose husband, Nevada National Guard Sergeant Patrick Stewart, was killed in Afghanistan; Karen DiPolito, whose husband Jerome Birnbaum is a Korean War veteran who died last year; and Circle Sanctuary, a Wisconsin-based Wiccan church; and Isis Invicta Military Mission, a California-based Wiccan and pagan congregation serving military personnel. Filed in the U.S. District Court in Madison, Wisconsin, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit in Washington, D.C. Now, they have been trying for 9 years to get this approved, so now it'll go through the court system. Why not? What's the big deal? Oh, that's right. It's one of them five-pointed stars. It's the devil. Boogie, 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 boogie. Come on. Wake up. All right. Yes, I talked earlier about Rumsfeld and the fact that he is we'll talk about this after the break. Let's go ahead and take that now. It is about 29 minutes past the hour. This is the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. I'm going to take a break and then I'll be right back.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. There's a whole lot of cheering going on at the departure of the Donald. I enjoyed it myself. The price of arrogance and hubris finally became too high even for Bush, who paid dearly for it on November 7th. But I'm not cheering. Rumsfeld's replacement, Robert Gates, is a servant of the Bush family. His last job was custodian of Papa Bush's papers at Texas A&M. And Gates is also a servant of the empire. During the bloodiest years of Ronald Reagan's secret wars in El Salvador and Nicaragua, Gates served as deputy director of the CIA, this at a time when Salvadoran death squad leaders like Roberto Dubuisson were on the CIA payroll doing their dirty work. This was also the time of Iran-Contra, and Gates covered up this scandal and misled Congress about it. His record after that was no better. He funded the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, who morphed into Al-Qaeda. He completely failed to predict the collapse of the Soviet Union, and he had a bad habit of distorting intelligence to serve his masters. That's a job requirement in the Bush administration, I suppose, but it's nothing to crow about. Bush has replaced a brazen manipulator with a bland one. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. Place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Program. It's about 32 minutes past the hour.
I'm thinking that we're going to go over to some other things now. I was looking at this whole CIA situation, and another story popped up. This is from, you know what, let's go ahead and play this, I think. Maybe that's what we need to do. Let's go ahead and play this. I haven't read or listened to this yet, so you're going to hear it for the first time. I'm going to hear it. This is from Iranian television, and apparently it aired on Link TV. It claims Turkey immediately disabled the CIA's spying ability after receiving a complaint from the Iranian embassy.
Turkish authorities closed two satellite channels that the CIA had rented out under full Turkish name to spy on Iran and monitor its electronic and internet activities carried on the Turkish satellite Turksat. Turkish opposition parties considered this as negligence by the government, especially since they first learned about this incident from Iranian authorities. The Turco-American relation is facing a silent crisis after the government of Erdogan had closed down the two satellite channels used by the CIA to spy on Iran through the Turkish satellite Turksat and monitor the Iranian internet and electronic activities, allowing the United States the capability to jam them at will. This information was made public in the Sabah newspaper and other Turkish news agencies.
I do not know how accurate the news reports are, but this shows that the Turkish surveillance is weak.
Opposition parliament members accused the Turkish government of negligence for allowing something like this to happen without its knowledge. The Turkish government failed to detect that the CIA had rented two satellite channels on Turksat until the Iranian embassy in Ankara demanded their closure. Iranian officials said that this was an act of aggression against Iran.
I do not understand why the CIA wants to spy on Iran via Turkey. It seems that they want to get us involved. The government was negligent, and if it knew about this, then it has betrayed its people and neighbors. But I do not think that this was the case.
There is information indicating that Abdullah Gül, the Turkish foreign minister, gave orders to immediately close down the two satellite channels if they were used to spy on Iran.
We can't do anything that may harm our neighbor, Iran. This happened due to the lack of coordination between Turkish agencies, but as soon as any violation was discovered, it was dealt with swiftly, which explains why we closed the two channels. We are seeking peace.
What is interesting is that Washington considered the manner in which it used Turksat satellite legitimate because this action complied with the strategic alliance agreement that it had signed with Ankara. However, the Justice and Development ruling party refuted this. Washington's persistence on using the Turksat to conduct its spying activities against the Islamic Republic of Iran, despite the opposition by Erdogan's government and the Turkish opposition parties, is an indication that the Turco-American relation is facing a silent crisis. Meanwhile, Ankara has refused to allow its territories and its institutions to be used in any act of aggression against its neighbor, Iran.
Yeah, how about that, huh? How about that? You know, this is what's happening, though, and we need to keep aware of what's going on around the world, and that's one of the ways we can do that. Thank God for the internets, right? We can pull that stuff down and listen to it. It did sound a little bit like Borat, but that's okay. You know, the bottom line is that apparently there is, a lot of tension because of what the CIA is doing around the world. And, you know, one of the things that it mentioned in the story was that it had rented space on Turksat, one of the satellites that was over Turkey and Iran, that a couple of channels, and they could actually jam satellite communication in Iran by renting those two channels. Interesting. And immediately Turkey closed the channels. So, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, once you add up a lot of these things, you begin to see sort of a larger picture, at least I do, of some of the things that have been going on. Now, I was talking about earlier, the 11 former prisoners of the U.S. Armed Forces on Tuesday did indeed file a lawsuit in Germany calling for Donald Rumsfeld and other American officials to be investigated for war crimes. The Center for Constitutional Rights in the United States was one of the organizations that signed on to the lawsuit. Washington says abuses documented in photos from Abu Ghraib were one-off events perpetrated by rogue guards. Germany has been chosen for the lawsuit because the country's legal system allows war crimes committed anywhere in the world, even if alleged perpetrators are non-Germans, to be tried by the German courts. The lawsuit is being brought on behalf of the alleged U.S. torture victims by 22 individuals and rights groups, including the U.S.-based Center for Constitutional Rights. It charges that Rumsfeld and others ordered, aided, or failed to prevent war crimes. Isn't it ironic that, I just find it to be incredibly ironic, that the place where there would be war crimes investigations against U.S. officials would be in Germany. I find the irony to be thick with irony. Oh my goodness! You know, it's all coming full circle, isn't it? I think it is. I think it's all coming full circle. Now, you know, apparently also, as we're talking about all this, I mentioned earlier that the CIA says the president ordered the detentions early. Iran is, you know, there's all this stuff going on all over the place. I do have an interesting story, though. Let's see if I can find it. I don't want to mention that. Well, where the heck is it? It went away. Anyway, I did have a story about, oh yeah, here it is. Here it is. Our Walmart Watch segment of the evening. Apparently Walmart stores is pulling a Skull and Crossbones t-shirt from its shelves after a Maryland blogger complained that the image was identical to a Nazi SS emblem from World War II. Rick Rotman, ironic name. Rick Rotman, who runs an online journal called Bent Corner, posted a picture of the shirt late last week next to an image of a divisional insignia he said was used by the 3rd SS Division, a unit of Adolf Hitler's Waffen SS. The design is a distinctive image of a squat-looking human skull slightly angled to the side. Walmart said Monday it was not aware of the origins of the image until Rotman's post and is working quickly to get the t-shirt out of the stores. Spokesman David Tovar said, quote, "We are deeply sorry that this happened and we are in the process of pulling all of these t-shirts from our stores. Respect for the individual is a core value of our company." Oh my God, liar! Let me read that one quote again. "Respect for the individual is a core value of our company." That's just too funny. Oh my God. "And we would never have placed this t-shirt on our shelves had we known the origin and significance of this emblem." That's right. All of those folks who are making $7.50 an hour are working their asses off to get these t-shirts out of the store because we respect the individual and it's a core value of our company. Oh my God, the irony. The irony! And Walmart is also reviewing its processes among suppliers for checking products in an effort to ensure that this never happens again, the evil Skull and Bones. Rotman, who is an electronics technician and an Air Force veteran, said he noticed the shirt at a Hagerstown, Maryland Walmart on Thursday. He said, quote, "The image kind of struck me. I used to read a lot of books about World War II, and the skull is really distinctive." He took a photo with his cell phone. Damn cell phones. He took a photo with his cell phone and checked the image at home, and he found that it was true. The Waffen SS was the fighting arm of the notorious Schutzstaffel, founded in 1925 as the personal bodyguard for Adolf Hitler and other Nazi leaders. Waffen SS divisions have been implicated in murder sprees in German-occupied countries on the Eastern and Western fronts in World War II, and some indeed did guard concentration camps. Let's go ahead and take our break. We're going to go ahead and take our break, and when we come back, we'll bring this little puppy down for a landing and get into the end of the show. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program. If you want to get in on the show, you got a few minutes left. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Symbols of democracy pinned up against the coast. Our house of bureaucracy surrounded by a moat. Citizens of poverty are barely out of sight. The overlords escape near evening, the people on the night. Morning brings the tourists, painting eyes and rubber necks. Perhaps a glimpse of the cowboy making the world a newest wreck. It's a mass of irony for all the world.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Listen, man. Adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just gotta find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Yep, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. We've got about 12 minutes left in the show this evening, and, you know, we've been talking about all kinds of stuff tonight. Rattling and prattling on about all kinds of different things. I did want to read you something by a guy who is a fantastic journalist. Fantastic journalist, Robert Fisk. We've had Robert Fisk, we've interviewed him before for the Head On Radio Network on a radio program called Fourth Estate Radio that I used to host with my good friend John Fox, who now has Foxed Up every afternoon here on the Head On Radio Network. We did a show together called Fourth Estate Radio, and he was able to spend some time, he and another gentleman by the name of Anthony Lowenstein, spent some time with Robert Fisk when he was down in Australia. Fantastic journalist. I wanted to read you this. The title of the article is called U.S. Tanks Will Roll Out of Iraq on a Road Paved with Excuses. Great news from America, the cashier at my local Beirut bookshop shouted at me the other morning, raising her thumbs in the air. Things will be better after these elections. Alas, I said, alas, no. Things are going to get worse in the Middle East, even if, in 2 years' time, the U.S. is blessed with a Democrat and Democratic president. For the disastrous philosophers behind the bloodbath in Iraq are now washing their hands of the whole mess and crying, "Not us!" with the same enthusiasm as the Lebanese lady in my bookshop, while the experts on the mainstream U.S. East Coast press are preparing the ground for our Iraqi retreat by blaming it all on those greedy, bloodlusting, anarchic, depraved, uncompromising Iraqis. I must say, Richard Perle's version of a mea culpa did take my breath away. Here was the ex-chairman of the Pentagon's Defense Policy Board Advisory Committee, he who once said, quote, Iraq is a very good candidate for democratic reform, end quote, admitting he, quote, underestimated the depravity, end quote, in Iraq. He holds the president responsible, of course, acknowledging only that, and here, dear reader, swallow hard, quote, I think if I had been Delphic and had seen where we were, where we are today, and people had said, should we go into Iraq, I think now I probably would have said, no, let's consider other strategies, end quote. Maybe I find this self-righteous, odious mea culpa all the more objectionable because the same miserable man was shouting abuse down a radio line to me in Baghdad a couple of years ago, condemning me for claiming that the U.S. was losing its war in Iraq and claiming that I was a supporter of the maintenance of the Ba'athist regime. That lie, I might add, was particularly malicious as I was reporting Saddam's mass rapes and mass hangings at Abu Ghraib prison when Pearl and his cohorts were silent about Saddam's wickedness and when their own chum, Donald Rumsfeld, was cheerfully shaking the monster's hand in Baghdad in an attempt to reopen the U.S. Embassy there. Not that Pearl isn't in good company. Kenneth Edelman, the Pentagon neocon, who also beat the drums for war, has been telling Vanity Fair that the idea of using our power for moral good in the world is dead. As for Edelman's mate, David Frum, well, he's decided that President Bush just did not absorb the ideas behind the speeches Frum wrote for him. But this, I'm afraid, is not the worst to come from those who encouraged us to invade Iraq and start a war that has cost the lives of 600,000 civilians. For a new phenomenon is creeping into the pages of the New York Times and those other great organs of state in the U.S. For those journalists who supported the war, it's not enough to bash Bush. No, they've got a new flag to fly. The Iraqis don't deserve us. David Brooks, he who once told us that neocons such as Pearl had nothing to do with the president's decision to invade Iraq, has been ransacking his way through Ely Cootery's 1970 essay on the British occupation of Mesopotamia in the 1920s. And what has he discovered? That the British tried to encourage responsible leadership to no avail. Quoting a British officer at the time as concluding that Iraqi Shiites, quote, have no motive for refraining from sacrificing the interests of Iraq to those which they conceive to be their own. But you get the point. We are preparing our get-out excuses. The Iraqis don't deserve us. Screw them. That's the grit. We're laying down on the desert floor to help our tanks get out of Iraq. Now, I paraphrased a lot of that article, but you can go read that at Common Dreams. Robert Fisk has a penchant for telling the truth in such a way that you cannot deny it. We do have a desperate situation there. And, of course, we can't leave acknowledging that it was wrong to be there in the beginning, can we? No, we have to blame them for their for us invading their country, don't we? Deposing Saddam and capturing him and putting him on trial and then declaring him that he should receive the death penalty wasn't enough. No, we have to condemn the entire country for a problem that we visited upon them. They don't want democracy, we say. Well, you know what? Maybe they don't. But does that mean that they're wrong for not wanting democracy? Because if the kind of democracy that we have is what we're trying to give to them, I dare say we should take a lesson for ourselves. It is as I've said before, what's the solution? Well, I think the solution is to get the hell out and give them war reparations. because we have thoroughly damaged that country beyond any hope of, I mean, we have cemented the idea of extremism into the minds of many, 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 many thousands of young Iraqis. We will have to be on guard from now on. And why? Because this president thought that using force would dissuade violent people from being violent, that using violence would dissuade violence from being violent. I don't know how that works. Never quite seen that one in action. I think we need to get Dr. Phil on the phone. Dr. Phil, what do you think about that? How's that working for you? It's not. It really isn't. I do hope you join me tomorrow night. We will have a program devoted entirely to the topic of addiction. Pass the word along if you are someone who is in recovery or if you know someone who's in recovery. Pass the word along. We'd love to hear people's points of view on this topic. I think it'll be an interesting night. I'm sure my producer will probably cut in with some ideas, too. We're going to be talking about addiction, not just drug addiction, not just alcoholic addiction, perhaps even nicotine addiction. Addiction is addiction is addiction is addiction, isn't it? You've been listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I've been very proud and fortunate and grateful to be with you one more time again this evening. The show was produced by Bob and Compadre in the struggle. Bob. The show was announced by John Fox of Sydney, Australia, who also does a program on this radio network. Both Bob and John do, as a matter of fact. But it's not the Bob and John show. Okay, let me just stop. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services is our IT professional, and what a professional he is. Professionally fabulous. We're not going to go there either. Gene is our head chief news blogger, and he's also got a team of bloggers who get out there every day, and they do blogging for the Head On Radio Network at headonradionetwork.com. Thank you, guys, for everything that you do. Also want to thank the mods of the Head On Radio Network chat room. Those folks go in there every day and help the newbies get along. If you haven't been there, do go join it. They're very welcoming and very loving and caring, and they'll welcome you with open arms. Also want to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for archiving this radio program and all the radio programs on the Head On Radio Network and for managing the streams as well. And thank you also to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights. You're building the American dream, and you're helping us to bring some truth back to media. And thank you, listener, for joining me this evening. And remember, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. I will see you tomorrow. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
To be alive after the revolution, from Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles, we're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the revolution, prison doors swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they'd do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven in all the Neil colonies. Soldiers left their faces, went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign.
kind of gross. Susan, we got to hit the news, but thank you so much.
You have a nice night, and don't feel too bad about the discount.
Well,
you saved some money.
I saved 5%, you know.
Don't knock it.
I'm not knocking.
Okay, good night.
Later. Bye now. News is next, as well as your thoughts, your phone calls to 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Most, if not all, hostages kidnapped today in a brazen attack on an educational facility in Baghdad have been freed. Over 100 male educators were seized today by gunmen wearing police uniforms. Universities across Iraq have been closed down. The district police chief and four of his top officers have been arrested. Elsewhere in Iraq today, at least 82 people were killed or found dead. The UN's nuclear watchdog has found traces of highly enriched uranium and plutonium in Iran. The report confirms the country continues to enrich uranium in defiance of the UN Security Council. In Gaza, Hamas indicated the new Palestinian unity government would not recognize Israel's right to exist or accept a two-party solution to the Middle East situation. This position is expected to hurt the chances of easing an 8-month Western economic boycott. In Florida, scandal-ridden Republican